In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God's ancient people were called Yisrael, which in their language means he who wrestles with God. And so God's people, both back then and even now, God's people are they who wrestle with God, the people who grasp hold of their deity and hang on to him no matter what, insisting that he bless you. And that's faith in your God, faith that sees you through whatever life throws at you, faith that hangs on to God, insisting that he bless you, insisting that he will bless you, even through what you may be suffering right at the moment. And that modern intellectual Einstein is said to have said, "Doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting a different result, is the definition of insanity." We all know that phrase, that the saying so well these days. It's made the rounds. Well, faith may be insane by that definition, isn't it? For faith hangs on to the Lord no matter what, expecting him to bless us. And so you and I might recast that statement altogether this way. We might recast it, doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting different results, is the definition of persevering in faith. Knowing that even though the Lord does not seem to be blessing you at the moment in the midst of what you suffer, knowing that eventually the Lord will bless you through, he'll bless those who cling to him. And so Israel, that ancient people of God, they wrestled, they clung to their God. And of course, when we look back at their history, we can imagine that over the years, their grip might have begun to loosen a little bit, because through the father of their nation, even though the father of their nation, Abraham, had received many great promises from the Lord, and even though he'd witnessed miracles of the Lord, when they were in Egypt for the best part of 400 years, there weren't so many miracles happening. In fact, there weren't so many good times. The latter generations of those 400 years were spent in slavery and in deep, great hardship. And so, the time had begun with the miracles of God. And during those 400 years, they had actually witnessed one of the promises of God being fulfilled. The promise that Abraham's offspring would become as numerous as the stars in the sky or the sand on the seashore. And they had, during those 400 years, become numerous, a million or so. So numerous that the land they currently lived in, Egypt, it feared them because they were so numerous. And thus, their king had enslaved them. And their lives there were cruel and hard. And yet they clung to their God. They wrestled with him, expecting better things from God. And their cries of anguish went up before the Lord. And he heard their cries for mercy. And so he sent for them a mighty deliverer. He sent Moses. And Moses isn't a man of battle, but he was a man of Israel whose life had been miraculously preserved from the wicked king who would kill the children of Israel. And in a strange twist, this boy, who should have been dead, was raised in that king's house as one of the king's own grandchildren, as a member of his household under his own protection. And yet Moses was an Israelite. An Israelite who later in his life fled from Egypt and from his people and was hiding out in the butt end of nowhere when the Lord called him in a burning bush. And he sent Moses to Egypt, to the king. Maybe it was the same king who had been his grandfather. Maybe it was a king who had been raised as one of his brothers. And so Moses was a spokesman for God, not a warrior. For God does things not by swords, but by words. And maybe that's why in Scripture God calls his word a sword, because it accomplishes greater things than swords and armies ever could. And so Moses declares for God, "Let my people go." And he proclaims 10 great plagues designed to humble Egypt and her false gods. And the final plague of those 10 is the death of the firstborn son. And throughout the first 9 plagues, the Israelites had been preserved from all of the plagues and from their harm and their calamity. But now, to make it completely clear, the Lord says, "Have a feast. And on the 14th day of the month at twilight, just before sunset, just as the 15th day is about to start, slay that Passover lamb. Gather up its blood and put that blood on the 2 doorposts and on the lintel of the house. 3 strokes of blood to mark you as Israel, those who wrestle with God, those who cling to God, those whom the Lord will pass over, whose firstborn sons will not be slain. And that evening, eat only unleavened bread and make it in haste, eat it in haste, because the Egyptians are finally about to let you go. And when the command to leave comes, it will be swift. There won't be time to make any fancy meal or to let the bread even rise. Eat that meal that night with your bags packed and set by the door with your shoes on your feet. And the next morning when the day came and the lambs were slaughtered, the blood spilled and streaked on the doors of the houses, by that next morning when that great wailing came up over the land from every household except for those that the Lord had passed over, the command from the king was swift. Get out! Take your people, your animals, your possessions, get out! Here, take our gold if it'll get you gone faster, because we don't want to even be reminded that you ever existed. Get out and go worship your God. Leave us alone. Because God had humbled the mightiest king on earth. He had shown him up and defeated all of his gods and set his own people free without his people having to lift a finger. They'd clung to God through the years, through the generations of slavery, and finally he saved them. That was perseverance, not insanity. And so every year henceforth, after that event, every year Israel was to do the same thing. On the 14th day of the first month of the year, they were to slaughter a lamb at twilight, cook it and eat it before daybreak, and eat unleavened bread for that whole week in remembrance of that event. And that is so that they might relive it. They might recount it so that they would be part of it. God didn't save my ancestors, a good Jewish person would say. A good Jewish person would say, God saved me because I annually relive it. I am part of it. That's what the Old Testament means when it says, do this in remembrance. Relive it. Be part of it. And so our Lord, the faithful Son of Israel, every single year, just as the Old Testament commands, he celebrated the Passover. And that year, that last year of our Lord's life, it was on a Thursday. The lambs were to be slaughtered at twilight on Thursday. The meal would be eaten that evening, which for Jews actually is Friday that evening. Because Good Friday. Because for Jews, days start not in the morning or at midnight, the way you and I count days. For Jews, days start at 6 p.m. when the sun goes down. Do you remember Genesis chapter 1? And there was evening and there was morning the first day. And from that chapter on, Jews have always counted days from evening, from 6 p.m. And so, at twilight, at 5 p.m., they slaughter the animals. The day, a new day starts. They have the meal. And the next morning when the sun rises, everything is different. They are free. They are no longer slaves. It's a day that dawns and everything is different. And so that final Passover meal for our Lord was also different. By sunrise, his fate was sealed. The high priest, whose job it was to slaughter the Passover lambs, They took Jesus, the Lamb of God, to Pilate that morning at about 6 a.m. at sunrise, to the governing authority, to the guy who had the power to put a man to death. And they finagled and they lied and they bullied Pilate into killing our Lord. Because that was their role as the high priests. Their task as priests was to kill the Passover Lamb, which takes away the sin of the world. And causes God's justice to pass over sinners like you and me. And so the day that the supper was eaten was not actually Thursday, but in their minds was actually Friday, what you and I would call Thursday evening. And it was a prelude to the actual, true, eternal Passover. And so on that evening, our Lord, as they've eaten that meal, He gives them a new command. That's where that strange word mandi comes from command, or in Latin, mandatum. Mandi, as it became over the years, shortened somehow from the Latin. A new command, He says, a new command I give you, to love one another. A new law, or a new covenant altogether. The old covenant was based on this Passover lamb, where God claimed Israel as His own, saving them from slavery in Egypt. And the new covenant was based on the true Passover lamb, the lamb who was yet to be slain that next day. And yet, though our Lord's blood had not yet been spilt when they had that meal, the blood of the new covenant, that covenant or law of love that He gives us in this meal, was already available to them. It was a meal of His own body and blood. Can you imagine that? Jesus is sitting right there, and yet in that bread and wine, the God of the universe says, "This is my body, making it so." His body and blood are present even as He Himself sits there handing it to them. And so He gives them Himself. He loves them to the end. For this meal is miraculous. It remembers the Passover back in Egypt, putting you and me there, making us part of Israel, those who were saved then through the Red Sea. But it also puts us in the midst of the table where Jesus gathered with His 12 disciples for that final meal, where we are being washed, being called His friends, being loved by the Son of God who serves us to the end, to the very end of His life, pouring out His blood and being roasted in the fire of God's wrath against sin. And so you and I eat His body. We drink His blood, our Passover lamb who saves us. And our hearts are marked thrice with His blood in our baptisms, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That blood which cleanses, that blood which causes the angel of death to pass over us, that blood which gives us new life. And so come to this wonderful meal. Get it early. Get it often. In the name of Jesus. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, may it keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.